Phil, one of the hot button issues has, will be, and will continue to be hatchery reform. There are so many conflicting studies and so many philosophies that people have. Touch a little bit about how you feel we need to improve the way we do business in our state salmon and trout hatcheries.
Well, you know, when we're talking about hatchery reform, we really, you know, are talking about salmon and steelhead. And the Hatchery Scientific Review Group, that HSRG group that was funded largely through the efforts of Congressman Dix, really laid out a roadmap for us in terms of what we need to do to change how we're managing our hatcheries in a manner so that those fish don't have a negative impact on our wild populations. I don't think there's a lot of mystery to it, frankly. When you look at that report, it's clear that we need to reduce the number of hatchery fish that are interacting with natural origin populations spawning in the wild. And we also need to look for ways to change our, what we call our brood stock management in our hatchery, so that to the extent that they're available, and it makes sense that we use natural origin fish, or which, you know, you can say that, or wild fish, as part of our brood stock program within the hatchery. So we're not just using hatchery origin fish as brood stock. So there's some places that we can, you know, that some of it's going to be dependent on money. I mean, some of this is talking about weirs. We're looking at different harvest gear types, and we've got a pilot going on in the Lower Columbia River to look at the purse seine and beach seine approach for commercial fishing down there in place of gill nets. But there's things that we can do in our hatchery systems today that we are doing and we need to do more of in that broodstock piece, improving the utilization of our hatchery fish in selective gears so that we can reduce the number of hatchery fish on the wild spawning ground, and at the same time, look capital improvements. That means money, where we need to have weirs or we need to change the way a particular hatchery is configured that will help us get those hatchery fish out of the wild system and or help us use wild fish in that broodstock. So I don't, you know, I'm sure there are always the arguments, I suppose, in the scientific community. There's always arguments in the political community, too. But I don't think there's a big mystery here in terms of what we need to do to be successful. And I think largely, we learned a lot about that as a result of the work of the Hatchery Scientific Review Group.
Phil, I want to ask you real quick. You mentioned the test fishery you got going on down in the Columbia right now, testing different kinds of commercial gear. Can you give us any more on that? I read a great article in the Daily Astorian this past week that was talking about that and had some great pictures of some wild Chinook being released. Can you give us any feedback on how that's going to this point?
Well, let me start by saying I went over to Brewster, which is an hour and a half north of Wenatchee or so, and had an opportunity to go out on the purse seine vessel that the Colville tribe was using as in a test approach over there, and it's the same vessel that was put together by a gillnet fishermen out of Skamakaway, actually. And he went up there and started that operation up there. And so I went up there and had an opportunity to visit that firsthand. So we were doing tests on several different types of gear, both this purse seine piece, the beach seine, and then there's a thing called a Merwin trap.
Right.
Don't ask me exactly how that works because I don't know. But the most promising piece of this so far has been both the beach seine and the purse seine. I know there's concern that we're going to test this thing to death and it's going to take a long time to actually implement change. And we're going to need some financial assistance for folks because it's no small investment to make this kind of a change in gear. But, you know, I think it shows great promise. I want to move in that direction in as timely a way as we can, do it thoughtfully because those Lower River Mitchell Act hatcheries that, you know, fund our ocean fisheries and the main stem fisheries down there, the only way we're going to be able to produce fish in anywhere near the same numbers that we're doing today is if we get those hatchery fish out of the system. So that's going to take both selective fishing on part of the sport fishing community, as well as getting our commercial fishery to be as selective as possible and have high survival rates for fish that are released.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. That's, I mean, selective is the key, and to go forward commercially, commercial fishermen are just going to have to be able to release wild fish.
Well, yeah, you know, and the thing is, it's not a case of, hey, we want to take away, you know, your access as a commercial fisherman or your right. Hey, as a sport fisherman, I want to do my fair share in wiping out those those hatchery fish, like Phil said, know, and make the, as big a dent as I can. And I know there's plenty left over for these guys too.
Phil, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it. Phil Anderson, director of the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, and don't be a stranger. You got to come back and see us again soon.
I will sure do that. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to these folks.
Hey, thanks very much, Phil.
Congratulations, buddy.
Well, I tell you what he had to say got me fired up.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I'm especially interested in the broodstock programs that he's talking about. Yeah. That's something that I think we need here, especially for our steelhead.
Oh, right. Without question. And, you know, we got a chance to participate that back a few years ago, too. Yeah, which, and you know, again, when you keep producing fish from the same broodstock in the hatcheries, you get truncated size distributions. They all show up at the same time, right? You know, so you need that genetic variability.